There were a few groups that contacted me in advance for additional time. I told them they could have 3 minutes speaking on behalf of their group. I think we can, I'm going to give it a shot to give everyone their 2 minutes. If I do a little bit of a rough count, that should get us done by 9:30, and I think we can then do our deliberation and voting after that. So those people who contacted me in advance for additional time, you don't have to come up in the beginning. You know who you are. And the others, 2 minutes. So I think most of you are familiar with how the system works. The green light goes on when you start talking. The yellow light means you have 30 seconds left. The red light means your time's up. So thank you very much for staying on time.
Mayor, City Council, first of all, I want to thank you for agendizing this item. I know, Don, I've been very critical of this being such a baby step, but to hear that this is opening up to further considerations of decriminalizing homelessness, you know, is very encouraging that you all would consider whatever way of doing that. I am a disabled veteran, a service-related disabled veteran, and I found myself disabled in Santa Cruz County when I was coming home to Santa Cruz County after burying relatives. And that was quite a shock, and I got ticketed. I haven't paid it. I'm sorry. First of all, I want to clear one thing up real quick. And I don't like what happened with Micah earlier, but there was a council person that this week went from door to door, hate mongering about this issue and misrepresenting the amendment. And I think that person should recuse himself. Recuse himself. Okay, thank you.
I would like you to stay on this.
I would.
Topic.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to get it off my chest. So what I'm saying is that. It's we need to pull the sleeping items out of the camping ordinance, that's for sure. And if the word sleeping bag means anything, it doesn't mean that it's a camping bag. There's a reason why it's called a sleeping bag, because you sleep in it. And you sleep in it in this kind of weather a lot better than with a blanket over you on the sidewalk. So I would ask that you consider including sleeping bag to be pulled out of the camping ordinance. This has been a long, long time coming. I don't know how to thank you guys so much for agendizing it. Know that many of us have been struggling for decades to try to get this right. We don't want the feds coming here and writing this and saying, oh, yeah, you peeled a little bit, but you didn't pull out the sleeping bag. You know, a sleeping bag is not a camping bag. You don't want the feds saying that. You want me saying that. Okay, thank you very much. And, hey, I'm in a yellow light.
Hello, my name is Viper. And I've been out here for about 25 years, homeless. I've been working my butt off every day, trying to keep people like you guys safe. From the River Street shelter closed up, they couldn't let us come back in. They want us to sign our life's over to them. And I can't do that. I'm a person who likes to help people in this town. I'm not going to go to jail for no one. I will physically put your guys, the officers, or anybody out in this town in safety before I see anyone get hurt. Underneath the bridge at River Street, I was there at 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. saving people from not crashing from underneath the bridge. The cleaning crew did not get there for 2 days and put any signs up. People got hurt, and I had to go up down there and try to help them out. I'm sorry, but I hope this ban gets broken.
Thanks for helping people out. Paul Gershowitz. I just moved by the fact that listening to the comments being made, none included the word compassion. Where's the ingredient? Where is compassion? Okay, you have options. You have choices, and I heard your choices this evening. There is a choice between Hillary or Bernie. And for my part, I say Bernie has the solutions to what we're talking about. It's just that there's a reluctance to even explore that idea. Why doesn't someone approach him and say, how would you solve it? I'd be curious to know. In any event, I would hope that wisdom will prevail and that the solutions that are arrived at are not based on where in prison can we put someone, where can we make certain that he struggles to sleep in a warm blanket. Where are those emphasis that we need so desperately today? Once more, I say, you have a choice. You can choose Hillary or Donald or Bernie Sanders. I think you'll make the wiser choice, because I, too, have a great faith. Since my arrival here in Santa Cruz, my faith is with what I perceive to be a society committed to doing what is noble for people. Thank you.
Please come forward.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor, council members. My name is Walter Lyle. I'm a student at CSUMB. I'm the Master's of Social Work program. And I'm also an intern at Community Connections over at Harvey West Park. What I'd like to speak about today and to share is I was really surprised not to hear anything about Housing First as an option or something that the council is not pursuing. And I would really like to encourage everyone to research that. I was reading earlier today that California spends $21,000 to ignore homelessness over spending it on more, $21,000 more than they do to pay for housing. And so I just really think that as you're looking at the numbers of 500 and those increased during the wintertime, that is strongly encourage everyone to look at Housing First as an option. Thank you.
56 pages, a picture, and I think I have it down to
2 minutes and 8 seconds. But I do need to tell you that I did pay my fine for sleeping in front of City Hall. During the 39 days and nights that I served in Parchment Penitentiary, the summer of 61, there were times when we Mississippi Freedom Riders were cursed, hosed down, stripped naked. On one occasion, 21 of my fellow African-American colleagues were jammed into a single 9-by-12 cell because they refused to stop singing. But we were never deprived of the freedom to sleep. Sitting black and white together on a brown bench in the Jackson train terminal was our crime. But no ordinance existed in the segregated South that criminalized individuals for sleeping on a sidewalk bench or in a park. That form of urban torture exists here in Santa Cruz. A few weeks ago on a downtown sidewalk, I saw a young woman trying to keep her feet covered with a short blanket that also barely covered her shoulders. There was no camp stove or even a bag of food. Clearly, her intention was not a camp out. She was simply homeless. One of the estimated 3,000 homeless that are unsheltered at any given time in our county. Lying on the hard sidewalk instead of a mattress, trying to do what you and I do in our warm beds every night, get a night's decent sleep. I had a sleeping bag in my car. I approached her. What would you like a sleeping bag? She looked at me wide eyes, almost gasped as she replied, "Yes, thank you." Members of the City Council, on those 56 pages, there are the names of Santa Cruz citizens who signed their names to petition this council address the inhumane suffering of individuals like the young woman I just told you. One more paragraph.
You know what?
Perhaps.
I'm trying to be fair.
To that
no, that.
I have just one paragraph.
Does this go?
Yeah. Thank you very much, and we do have your written comments here, so we'll finish it up.
Sherman,
thank you.
Where'd you leave?
These are petitions.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Louise Drummond.
Members of City Council, on these 56 pages are the names of Santa Cruz citizens who signed their names to petition this council to address the inhumane suffering of individuals like the woman I just told you about. Perhaps you saw on last night's Fox Computer News a photo of a young man in Baltimore praying over a homeless man. Understand, we activists, the homeless, and so many others, including the majority of the religious community, are not asking you to pray for the homeless. We are petitioning you to exercise your governmental responsibility to lessen human suffering. Thanking Councilman Lane for his emphasis on compassion and governance, we ask that you support his motion to change the present camping ban so that individuals may sleep in public at night with a blanket or a sleeping bag to keep them warm, or in designated locations in their vehicles. Lastly, as stated by the U.S. Justice Department in Bell versus Boise, the enforcement of ordinances such as Santa Cruz's criminalizes the status of being homeless and violates the cruel and unusual suffering clause of the Eighth Amendment. Therefore, as you wrestle with what our courts are increasingly and rightly viewing as a moral obligation, our city has a moral and legal responsibility whether homeless individuals are reduced to sleeping on the street or in a car to provide safe, secure places to sleep. To sleep is not a crime for those of us who have a place to call our own. It must cease being a crime for those who have no place to call their own, whose bed is a blanket or a sleeping bag on the street or in a car. Thank you.
Council, Mayor. I'm Brent Adams. I administer a program, a warming center program, and also advocate for a possibility called Santa Cruz Sanctuary Camp. I support the change of this ordinance language. It's very important. It seems a mere exercise, though, as it's not really going to make much of a difference on the ground for people experiencing homelessness, especially when you interact with them. And I interact with people experiencing homelessness all week long, not just when my shelter is open. I get calls every day. And what's really happening for people is their personal belongings, heirlooms, warm clothing, backpacks, blankets are being confiscated by parks officers. They're being nerped, taken by other people, and they're ending up in a very cold situation. What's true is there's literally no place to sleep outside between the hours of 11 and 8:30, and that's not going to change, regardless of what happens here. I have a Facebook page called Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz, and there are literally 100 photographs there that I've taken myself of people in various circumstances, doorways. I actually would like to see this pass, and I think it's important that it does. Out here we have permanent supported housing, 181-80-2020, and over here we have the law enforcement. When we talk about best practices, I think we should have to admit that jailing people and writing citations seems to be what is termed the best practices here. What I would like to see is actually a long community conversation, and let's start that now, about safe spaces for people to sleep at night. Highly organized places that are clean and safe for people to sleep and keep some personal belongings. That's best practices all over the Northwest, sanctuary camps. So as a creator of Sanctuary Camp Village, I invite the community to a conversation in various town hall meetings in the near future to discuss the possible establishment of both a sanctuary camp and safe sleep spaces. Thank you.
No. 3 minutes. Are you speaking for the faith?
Associators of the faith community.
Yes. Yes.
Council members, I'm Jim Weller. I'm speaking for the Association of Faith Communities. We are an association of local religious congregations. All of us live out our faith by providing relief for our neighbors who are suffering hunger, homelessness, or deprivation. For 4 years now, we have jointly operated the Faith Community Shelter Project. Our members and associates include Episcopal churches, Catholic churches, Methodist, Presbyterian, and Congregational churches, Evangelicals, Mormons, Quakers, Jewish congregations, a Vedic temple, and the Salvation Army. Collectively, we comprise thousands of faithful people, and our leaders are of one mind in advocating for repeal of the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz. Presently, our camping ordinance penalizes people who have no place else to go for falling asleep, or covering up with a blanket, or using a sleeping bag while being outside late at night or early in the morning. As Anatole France wrote long ago, the law, in its majestic equality, forbids rich and poor alike to sleep under bridges, beg in the streets, and steal loaves of bread. But of course, those who are cited for sleeping offenses are not moneyed, propertied folk, but the poorest of the poor, destitute persons who have no right to sleep anywhere inside. This isn't how a decent society works. We're better than that. The United Nations regards ordinances like ours that criminalize people who lack housing as violations of human rights. The Justice Department has served notice that sleeping bans are unconstitutional, writing that enforcement of such ordinances violates the Eighth Amendment prohibition against cruel or unusual punishment. HUD, our main funder for homeless housing programs, now tells us that our requests for federal funding will be scored lower if criminalization of sleeping outside is part of local policy. We know that every member of this city council is a person of sincere goodwill who genuinely seeks to preserve and improve the quality of life for all who reside here. Respectfully, we remind you that many of our fellow residents lack any housing at all. They have no private occupancy rights as the rest of us do. They have nowhere to be other than in the public space. These residents, our neighbors, must sleep somewhere. Some sleep at night in alleys, in doorways, on benches, in parks. When this becomes a public nuisance or violates park rules or offends private property rights, we have other ordinances that can be enforced.
Thank you.
Evening. I'm Nora Diane. I'm a member of the Santa Cruz Friends meeting. We don't need the sleeping ban. We don't need the sleeping ban. It makes common sense for a city to prohibit camping in places not intended for that use. But merely sleeping outdoors at night is not camping. Surely sleeping should not be against the law. For all these reasons, we urge you to amend the ordinance regulating camping so as to remove the words sleep, sleeping, sleeping bag, blanket, and bedding, including in vehicles. And that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
My name is Ray Glockrenik. Please do not take my remarks as a legal argument. They are intended for policy consideration. The current constitutional law of the state of California says that it is unconstitutional to enforce a sleeping ban unless you provide the affirmative defense of allowing those who have no other place to sleep because of the obvious biological necessity of sleep. I wish to make 2 points about why this proposed repeal is not a mere redundancy on that constitutional law, but actually makes a positive contribution beyond it. The affirmative defense is already recognized only reaches those who have no other place to sleep. So who are these people who have another place to sleep? I'm not talking necessarily about the privileged. I want to tell you about a particular case that I did. A man and his wife had a history of domestic violence. He went into domestic violence counseling and was told when the tensions are rising, leave the marital bed and go sleep elsewhere. He did. He went to sleep in the camper in his own driveway. He was arrested and prosecuted and convicted in the city of Santa Cruz on this ordinance. We need, for the safety of women to go ahead and repeal this so that when men are learning how to keep from becoming violent, they have another place to go, even though under the constitutional law, they should be in their own marital bed instead. Second. It is legal. The fact that it's an affirmative defense does not mean that an officer cannot arrest them for. Thank you.
I'm representing Peace United Church.
Yes, and I told you you could have 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Yeah. Just wanting to see it up there. I'm Suzanne McLean, Peace United Church, formerly named First Congregational Church. I'm happy to present petitions that signed by some of our 350 members in support of Councilman Lane's amendment. Our church tradition is one of inclusion, compassion, and social justice. We're a church of firsts. First traditionally white church to ordain an African American, first to ordain a woman pastor, an openly gay pastor. These firsts come from the belief that we are creations, all of us, of a loving God, deserving of equal rights, opportunity, love, and respect. As members, we're all called on to be servants in the service of others. In that regard, I address you tonight from a place of compassion. We feel deeply for our homeless brothers, sisters, and children who live lives of poverty, humiliation, fear, and uncertainty. We also have compassion for our neighbors who find the unhoused scary and unpredictable. We recognize that it is hard to feel a shared and generous humanity when one feels threatened, whether physically or economically. I feel tonight we're in a position to benefit both sides of this seeming divide. As a court investigator, I've seen the devastating effects of sleep deprivation. Research shows the emotional effects are anxiety, irritability, depression, lack of motivation. Sleep deprivation leads to attention deficits, inability to concentrate, poor decision making, forgetfulness, longer reaction times, and impulsivity. As highly responsible people, I am sure you've experienced some version of that after a night or two of sleeplessness, or you've seen it with your kids. Please imagine the compounding effect of day after day of interrupted periods of sleep, maybe no sleep. It also has many physical effects that are very negative. But that's not what we're talking tonight. None of these effects assist a person in finding or keeping a job, in obtaining and benefiting from the services that are available to alleviate barriers to housing, in finding a home in this incredibly priced rental market, or even in interacting well with others. Of course, as people have said, the ultimate answers is bigger than what we're doing tonight. But the ability to sleep without criminal penalties is humane for the unhoused souls, should result in better behavior for the rest of us. It's the right thing to do. It's the compassionate thing to do. It's a reasonable thing to do. We've heard the phrase, give peace a chance. Tonight we ask you to give sleep a chance.
Hello, council members, assembled community members, good evening. My name is Zav. I live and work here in Santa Cruz and have been here for the past 6 years. I just have a few things to say on the amendment under discussion, so I'll try to be concise. The sleeping ban, in my view, essentially makes it illegal for anyone in Santa Cruz to exist when they don't have access to shelter. Sleep is a human necessity. To criminalize people for sleeping outdoors means that you can only legally be in Santa Cruz if you are fortunate enough to own a home, rent, pay for a motel room, or have a spot in a shelter for unhoused people. The last official count of unhoused people in this area in 2015 came up with just under 2,000 individuals. According to Councilmember Lane's presentation, there are not nearly that many shelter beds in the city. Those people who are not lucky enough to get a bed have frankly had their existence made illegal by this law. We are not doing enough to care for members of our community who live unsheltered, and I say members intentionally. There's a common misconception that most houseless people in Santa Cruz are out-of-towners or not locals. I'll refer back to the Housing and Urban Development Count of 2015, when it found that approximately 60% of unhoused people surveyed have lived in Santa Cruz County for at least the past 10 years, if not more. It is unconscionable to continue to persecute houseless people. Don't they live a difficult enough life as it is? Tickets and fines just make it more difficult for people to get off the street. We need to offer a hand up as a community and not a continuing push down. Thank you for your time. I wholeheartedly encourage the council to vote to amend the sleeping ban and to work towards more efforts to both decriminalize and house community members that need shelter.
Hello, my name is Deborah Lechever. I'm new in town. I just moved here from Los Angeles, from Venice Beach specifically. As you know, we have similar issues there. I was told that we all have heard that L.A. is the cruelest city in the nation. You guys have way stricter laws and more criminalization here than Los Angeles does. That is appalling. I thought I was moving to a progressive community. Wow. Okay, so I got to say, I want to do this before I get cut off. There's a wonderful quote from Gandhi, and that Winston Churchill also had a similar quote that said, you can tell the degree of civilization of a society by the way they treat their most vulnerable members. I submit that to you as something to go home and sleep on tonight, especially if you turn this motion down. Okay, so the federal government, the UN, the state, did you know there was a bill in the state assembly to make it illegal to criminalize people in the cities because they realize people are just moving around and nobody's really doing anything about it? They're even considering prosecuting city government for mismanaging funds. I want to tell you that. Los Angeles didn't almost get their HUD funding lowered. They almost get their HUD funding canceled. They quickly started a homeless task force, which turned into a homeless committee of the city council, and I would appeal to you to do that yourself. I think we need it. I think we need a lot of help on this issue. You're going to lose a lot of money. The CAO, the City Administrative Officer of Los Angeles, did a study. $100 million was spent city departments on the homeless. $87 million of that was from the LAPD. I think it would behoove you to do that kind of a report here to see where our money is being spent and where our priorities are. My friend Carol Sobel from the National Lawyers Guild has sued the City of Los Angeles three times in the last 3 years and won over $3 million for her people. You guys can't afford to lose that money, nor the money from HUD. I think about it. Be ahead of the curve, you guys, because it's coming. You are under the radar right now, but guess what? It's coming to you, too.
Good evening, members of the City Council. My name is Matt Nathanson. I'm here to speak in favor of the proposed change to decriminalize sleeping in our city. Like most people here, I wear many hats. I've been a resident of the city for 22 years. I'm a homeowner who has had the experience of my neighbors or my wife, in one case, coming out to a car that was left unlocked and finding somebody sleeping there because they had no place else to be. It happens until we have safe places for people to sleep. I work my daytime job. I work as a public health nurse, serving folks who are working for people who are homeless at the Homeless Persons Health Project. So I could speak on this for a long time, but I actually think the slideshow presentation was fantastic. I'm taking a copy. I hope that's okay. I'm here tonight also, though, another hat I wear is that I'm the regional vice president for SEIU Local 521, which is a union that represents city workers, county workers, other public sector and nonprofit workers. I am in that role an elected official like all of you, and this is a controversial issue among my members, just as it is a controversial issue among the residents of Santa Cruz. It's a difficult issue. It makes people uncomfortable. The solutions aren't easy. But I am really, and I represent folks on sort of both sides of the spectrum. So there are workers who are cleaning up the negative effects of homelessness, and they fear that changing this rule might make that worse. I also work with many people who are service providers who are trying to solve the problem by creating more services. And we fear that, as the woman before spoke, lawsuits and changes in federal funding rules are going to bring less money in. So ultimately, when you're an elected leader and you're faced with controversy, you've got to sometimes look at what is the right thing to do. And it seems to me saying that people have a right to sleep is the right thing to do. Thank you.
Hi, Abby Samuels. I'm really curious. I wonder how many of you, after hearing public comment, have changed your mind on a voting decision. It seems that before you walk in here, you all have your minds made up. And no matter if 100 of us speak against the ordinance, it's as if you don't take any of it in consideration, honestly. So truly, how many of you have ever changed your mind? I'd like to know. So if not, what's the use of public comment if it doesn't make a difference? So I'll try. I really appreciate all of you caring so much about Micah's backyard bedroom. Some of you stated that it was upsetting since it wasn't up to code. It was potentially unsafe. Thanks so much for really caring about our residents. So please, please help me understand. When it's pouring rain outside and there's people sleeping underneath overheads in churches, that you allow the police to come and kick them out of the rain, into the rain, wake them up when they're quietly not bothering anyone sleeping. And this happens all the time to a lot of the people. Even if they don't receive a citation, they're still woken up. By the way, a lot of these people do have jobs. A lot of them can't get jobs because they haven't had a good night's sleep, and if they wanted to. Imagine going to bed and setting your alarm every 2 hours and getting woken up. So even if you don't get a citation, you might not get a good night's sleep. So please. So these people are sleep deprived. I've tried it myself. Whoops. So please consider and have compassion and take sleeping and sleeping bag out of this ordinance. Thank you.
So I'm going to say something I never thought I'd ever say, which is that banning sleep does not criminalize homelessness. And I'm going to say it for this reason. Criminals who have been convicted of crimes and sent to prison or jail to serve sentences are by law required a time to sleep. So the fact that this law actually could, turn someone into a criminal because they're breaking a law and leave them to go to jail or go to court, go to jail, be stuck with fines, it's kind of ironic, because if they were to actually be somewhere, a jail, a penitentiary, they'd be required by law to have time for sleep. But you sleep outside, and yet that's illegal. That doesn't add up, does it? I mean, seriously, how does that add up? And let's not forget the fact that, as Don Lane has pointed out, this doesn't stop people from getting citations for other things, for sleeping in certain types of places. A lot of people don't like sleeping in the rain. Would you like to go out there right now and sleep on the sidewalk? No. You're going to go into one of these little alcoves where it's drier and warmer. And guess what? That's still going to be illegal, even if you take sleeping out of this camping ban. So I don't get what the problem is. You can't commit another crime while you're asleep. Like, you can't go, poop on someone's lawn while you're sleeping. Like, you can't litter while you're sleeping. You can't stab someone while you're sleeping. Those are major crimes. They affect people in major ways. They affect our environment. They affect our children. They affect everything. But sleeping, laying down peacefully, that does nothing. It literally does nothing. You go to sleep tonight, you're not going to bother me. That's awesome. You're going to get some sleep, and you're going to feel good in the morning. So I don't really understand why sleep is such a big issue. We all need it, whether or not we're good people or bad people. Why is this even being discussed?
Oh,
I'm Raven.
Good evening. My name is Jamie Snyder. I'm a citizen here. I'm an educator. I applaud the bill that's on the table, and I certainly encourage the City Council to support it. I also feel, however, that as somebody suggested here, that we also need to, you know, I think everybody's acting in good faith, even people that, we all disagree on issues, and that's okay. You know, we come from the Bay Area where we're applauded the world around for being a center of innovation, and I think that we really need to, at the same time, we take this very small step, which makes a lot of sense, to really kind of think about how we're going to come to grips with an actual, some innovation in regard to this problem that's really challenging. I mean, obviously, if there was a solution that completely worked, it would be applied, but we haven't discovered it yet. And I don't, you know, and I guess my a thought comes to mind along the lines of what somebody else suggested earlier is just that, you know, I wonder whether some sort of a across-the-board team of people coming together on a regular basis, such as we applied to the water situation, which seemed to yield some good results. It seemed to bridge a lot of diverse people. They worked really hard, and they came up with some really constructive solutions that, you know, they're going to give a go at. But I just feel like we really need to get beyond this because it really is a problem. It's not working for, it doesn't work for anybody for people not to have their needs met. It doesn't work, you know, and for many different reasons, the things that don't work affect us differently. But anyway, I encourage you to think about the big picture at the same time you pass this bill.
Mayor, City Council, Steve Plaich. I'm the Vice Chair of the ACLU of Santa Cruz County.
Let me just interrupt, and that's three minutes. 3 minutes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Thank you. The ACLU supports the Lane Amendment. You received our email statement of support, so I won't review that at this time. What I would like to talk about is the opinion that I've heard in the community that any perceived relaxation of our camping ban is going to result in an explosion of extra homeless folks in our community. You had a report that was distributed that indicated, as Councilmember Lane had said, that there are three cities in Southern California, Anaheim, Santa Ana, and Huntington Beach, that were not enforcing their camping bans at all. I focused on Huntington Beach because it's comparable to us because it's a seaside tourist community that faces the same challenges that we do in creating positive outcomes for people experiencing homelessness. I spoke to their chief, Chief Bob Handy, down there, and Chief confirmed to me that they had not been enforcing their camping ban since November of last year. I asked him whether he observed or thought, or was his opinion, that not enforcing the camping ban had created any more homelessness in his community. And while he noted that homelessness in Orange County had increased overall, he could not and he would not link not enforcing their camping ban to any kind of an increase of the homeless population in Huntington Beach. I also asked him if he had been in communication with the chiefs of Anaheim and the chiefs of Santa Ana. He said that he had, and their opinions and their policies were not inconsistent with his own. I am not offering this for it as a statistically verifiable. Surely it is not. But I am offering it as informed opinion, and that is surely what it is. Lastly, let me say that this council this evening has a once-in-a-generation opportunity to redefine its relationship with the community and with people experiencing homelessness in our community. We can do that by the simple fact of joining together and supporting the Lane Amendment. Do so because it is sound public policy, and as you do, also let the better angels of your natures guide your way. Thank you.
Members of the council, my name is Philip Hamilton. I actually moved from the Washington, D.C. area recently to Santa Cruz, so grateful to be here in the Bay Area. I've been involved in politics for well over 10 years, written newspaper articles on various events in the D.C. area. This is certainly something that's caught my attention after moving here, and homelessness is something I've incurred in the D.C. area as well. I encourage you to consider how government has a duty to protect life, liberty, and property. The liberty to sleep is a very important liberty, and to also consider the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which declares that all humans in this country have equal rights. I would say that sleeping is a right that should be equal amongst everybody. And I encourage you all to have a genuine conversation with homeless individuals. They may not all go to the polls and vote for you for your re-election, but it's important for you to consider the opinions of those who may not always vote, because you want to see how the laws affect them on the day-to-day basis. Thank you.
My name is Dean Unz. I'm here in support of Councilmember Lane's proposed changes to the sleeping ban. It's humane. It's the right thing to do. Let's do it.
Hi there. My name is Stacey Falls, and I'm here to support this amendment and also ask that it be strengthened. I think language about sleeping bags should be removed as well. And I'd also like to see safe spaces for folks to sleep, whether it's the creation of safe parking zones or a sanctuary camp. People need to sleep, period. So if people don't have a house, they have to sleep outside. And I think it's the compassionate thing to do to make sure that those people are safe and comfortable. But I also think it's the practical thing to do. I think it's, as a society, we're better when people are healthy, well-rested, able to make sane, calm decisions because they're feeling well-rested. I think we're a better society when people aren't having to take uppers and things like that to stay awake at night. And I think, you know, especially when we look at some of the legal issues surrounding this, the statement from the Department of Justice, the issue of HUD funding, I think it's just the right thing to do, not only for folks who are experiencing homelessness and who will be better off if they can get a good night's sleep, but I think it's the thing to do for our society, for our community. It benefits housed people as well as people experiencing homelessness.
Good evening. My name is Steve Schnarr. One thing, I just came from the meeting for the Resource Center for Nonviolence. I'm a part of that organization, and as I wrote to you all, the RCNV endorses Councilmember Lane's proposed changes and also the right to have blankets and sleeping bags. And in my connection with that organization, I was thinking about statement that Martin Luther King Jr. made about compassion being more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It's more than haphazard and superficial. It requires to change the an edifice which creates beggars needs to be restructured. And so when in that same speech, he goes on to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan and the priest who walked by on the far side of the road and didn't stop to help. And it strikes me in Santa Cruz, the policy of the city, well, the city does support some programs, which I appreciate, but a lot of the policies of the city, which criminalize sleeping and other aspects of homelessness, are even worse than the priest who walked by on the far side of the road, because that person merely ignored the suffering person. And there are actually a lot of policies, including the sleeping ban, which actively harm poor people and suffering people. So I hope that we can move past the stigmatization and the othering of people who don't have housing and have compassion and also even a practical approach and understanding that all of these policies don't make the people go away. We could be as tough as we want. The homeless people are still here. They're in San Jose. They're in San Francisco. They're in Monterey. It's a national problem. You can't solve it by being mean to people. So let's stop pouring fuel on the fire of animosity between housed and houseless people.
Good evening, council members and Mayor Cynthia Matthews. Sorry I yelled at you, Cynthia, around Christmas time. I was so angry. And so I'm very happy that it was when you all were meeting and we were across the street protesting. So, Mayor, Don Lane, ex-mayor, thank you for putting this. Thank you for bringing this up. Thank you for your presentations. This is a little beginning of sanity, a little beginning. We as a city in our city government are not using data. We're not collecting data. I have been personally in the shelters. I have been personally researching various reports, county and city. We need a comprehensive study. It needs to be public. We have to start with background information. It needs to be an objective group of citizens who are not the city council. It needs to be people coming together. We need, I've heard 3,000 people a couple of years ago. Smart Solutions were homeless. Today it's 500. The media says one thing one day and one thing another. It's not that people aren't well-meaning. I think that we need a very organized approach to doing background research. I'm supporting Mayor Lane's amendment today. I wish that you would add sleeping bags because homeless people are going to freeze with just blankets. You also need a little protection from the sidewalk. We have to start being problem solvers who are basing our solutions in facts, incredible data where the sources are cited, and we have to stop the prejudice, the meanness, and the anecdotal solutions.
Good evening, y'all. Thank you for your commitment to the city. My name is John Welch. I've lived here for about 34 years. I think that compassion is hugely important. Yet I also believe that a community has the right to prohibit behaviors that cause harm and nuisance to its citizens. I think that's a tough job, and I applaud everyone who's giving that thought, and I'm very proud of your presentation. But I think, you know, the right way to do that is if you're going to prohibit behaviors that cause harm and nuisance to the community, that you need to really be careful and do things that cause harm and nuisance to the community. Somebody doing math on the sidewalk might perhaps cause nuisance and harm to people in block traffic, but we don't need an ordinance that says you can't do math on the sidewalk because, as Councilman Lane pointed out, we have plenty of ordinances that take into account that. Some you don't make a ordinance that says you're not allowed to have a marital spat on the sidewalk, even though a marital spat might cause lots of nuisance to the community because we have other ordinances to do that. So I think it's the right thing to do to be really thoughtful about what are the things that we have to decide to prohibit with laws and what are the things not, especially a thing that is a basic human function. That's really troubling, and I'm kind of surprised that we're having to have this whole thing for that. And I also think that the right way to move forward and with that balance is to work on the creating solutions to the problem so we can get away with, you know, reduce the amount of need to enforce and criminalize, as Council Member Tarasas brought up, that working on solutions is a big point. But I don't think we need to criminalize basic human functions. We have plenty of laws that prohibit things that get in our way. Thank you.
Good evening, Council. I'm Chip. I'm the executive at the Downtown Association. Our board did not have time to discuss this since it got published, so I'm not speaking on behalf of the board. They did not make a stand one way or another on this, but as you can imagine, and I know you also have, I received a number of communications from businesses and residents downtown with a lot of concern about what this ordinance will do and what the impacts are. Anecdotally, we can say, as we all, I think, understand, that we have seen a tremendous increase in the numbers of people experiencing homelessness in our community, and we need to make this issue of homelessness a top priority. We need to continue to make it a priority. we need to focus on affordable housing, which I know we are doing some work, and continue to support the 180-2010, 180-180, 180-infinity program and really focus on housing first and not stop with just housing first and remember it's housing first and make sure we follow that up with healthcare, substance abuse support, mental health outreach, jobs programs, emergency and transition shelter. And there's lots and lots we can continue to do and need to continue to do to individualize the support that we provide as a community for homeless issues. It's individualized. It's very different needs for people coming out of the foster care system as opposed to veterans, families. These are all things you all know very well. We need to continue to work with our state legislatures to make sure that we're getting support from the state for programs. And we need to do this aggressively, compassionately, thoughtfully, and we need to have courage here. But we also need to make sure that we are maintaining the integrity of our public spaces, of our neighborhoods, of our parks, and of our downtowns. So this is a potentially very challenging issue, and I applaud you for taking it on and encourage you to approach it cautiously. Thank you.
Good evening. Oh, I'm short. I agree with Chip. My name is Teresa Adams, and I have lived in Santa Cruz for about 40 years, and I have worked with people who are unsheltered for about three. And I'm asking you to repeal the sleeping ban because it's getting in our way. The nonprofits, it's getting in our way of getting people housed. Especially if we lose HUD funding and if the citations are, people aren't paying their citations and they can't get a rental unit. Also, I want to put a face on the homeless, the people who are experiencing homelessness. The people who are outside who are sleeping illegally are, I've met them, they're homeless, they're women, senior women, families with children, foster youth, on and on. So we need to address these problems. And I see this Santa Cruz as a town of creativity and possibility. And I see that this should be our next headline. City of Santa Cruz ends homelessness. Right. Instead of what we could see is City of Santa Cruz banned sleep. The City of Santa Cruz is sued. So if we all work together, if we work with the nonprofits, if we work with police, if we work with city council, then we can work on housing those who need shelter. Thank you.
Good evening, council members and Mayor Matthews. My name is Megan Joseph, and I am here on behalf of United Way of Santa Cruz County, an organization that's been here doing work with the community and for the community for 75 years. The clearest sign of an oppressed population is when the law criminalizes unavoidable actions or its defining characteristics, criminalizing their very existence. Homelessness itself, as Don Lane has said, is a breakdown in human and social services. It is not a criminal justice issue. And our law enforcement, frankly, have better things to do with their time and with our money. And citations are simply not changing the landscape of our streets. It's not doing any good. The stage has been set in the legal sphere for a formal ban on sleeping to soon be banned itself. We have seen other jurisdictions wisely work to get ahead of this curve in case law and align themselves with the federal report recommending that, in fact, to alleviate homelessness, we must decriminalize it. In fact, HUD will require us to show how we are doing so. There are many angles that I could enter this issue to speak from tonight, but this one, no matter what side of the aisle we're on, makes logical, wise, and legal sense for the benefit of us all, no matter where you sit on the issues. So let's avoid a lawsuit. Let's avoid losing funding and the expense of law enforcement. And let's allow best practices to move forward to end homelessness. Not only is it the dignified and right thing to do, it is the most sensible and logical thing to do. For those seeking longer-term solutions to homelessness, and that's all of us, and we've heard a lot of folks mention that tonight, please join Smart Solutions to Homelessness and the all-in countywide strategic plan to eventually end homelessness. There are solutions out there that work, and this is not one of them. Thank you.